ॐ भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय We read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 2, Ajamil delivered by the Vishnu Dutas. Text 33. Anyataha Mriyamanasya Na Ashuche Vishali Pate Vaikuntha Namagrahanam Jiva Vaktum Iha Arhati Anyata mriyamanasya Nasucher vishalipate Vaikuntha namagrahanam Jiva vaktum iharhati Anyata mriyamanasya Nasucher vishati pale Nasucher vishali pate Vaikuntha namagrahanam Jiva vaktum iharhati Anyata mriyamanasya Nasucher vishalipate Vaikuntha namagrahanam Jiva vaktum iharhati Anyata mriyamanasya Nasucher vishalipate Vaikuntha namagrahanam Jiva vaktum iharhati Mriyamanasya Nasucher vishalipate Vaikuntha namagrahanam Jiva vaktum iharhati Anyata mriyamanasya Nasucher vishalipate Vaikuntha namagrahanam Jiva vaktum iharhati Anyata mriyamanasya Nasucher vishalipate Vaikuntha namagrahanam Jiva vaktum iharhati Chavrishalipate Kuntanama Grahanam Chavakumiharati Anitamriyamanasya Suchavrishalipate Kuntanama Grahanam Shivavakyam Arati. Vaishnavis. Nama Grahanam Yavaktumi Harati Anyatami Amana Nasu Cherishi Pate Agunthanama Grahanam Yavaktumi Harati Anyata. Otherwise, Mriyamanasya, of a person who is just ready for death. Na, not. Ashuche, most unclean. Rishalipate, the keeper of a prostitute. Vaikuntha, of the Lord of Vaikuntha. Nama Grahanam, the chanting of the holy name. Jiva, the tongue. Vaktum, to speak. Iha, in this situation. Arhati, is able. Translation. Were it not for my past devotional service, how could I, a most unclean keeper of a prostitute, have gotten an opportunity to chant the holy name of Vaikunthapati when I was just ready to die? Certainly, it could not have been possible. Please repeat. Were it not for my past devotional service, how could I, a most unclean keeper of a prostitute, have gotten an opportunity to chant the holy name of Vaikunthapati when I was just ready to die? Certainly, it could not have been possible. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The name Vaikunthapati, which means the master of the spiritual world, is not different from the name Vaikuntha. Ajamiya, who was now a realized soul, could understand that because of his past spiritual activities in devotional service, he had gotten this opportunity to chant the holy name of Vaikunthapati in his horrible condition at the time of death. Translation again. Were it not for my past devotional service, how could I, a most unclean keeper of a prostitute, have gotten an opportunity to chant the holy name of Vaikunthapati when I was just ready to die. Certainly, it could not have been possible. So we are reading the history of Ajamil. Ajamil was born into a pious Brahmin family, and as a child and young man, had engaged in devotional service. But later, after being married to a nice Brahmin girl, he saw two low-class people, a couple, having some carnal relationship in public. And that sight somehow agitated his mind. And Srimad Bhagavatam explains that at that moment, he thought of the good instructions he had received in his youth, and he tried to control his mind. But the force of his lusty desires was too powerful. And he succumbed to them. He left his very faithful and obedient and qualified wife and went in search of the prostitute whom he had seen embracing the man on the street. And he kept the prostitute, and for the sake of maintaining her, he engaged in all sorts of abominable activities. And it is described in the Bhagavatam that at the age of 88, he was on his deathbed, and three or four fearsome figures, horrible-looking figures, appeared before him. They were Yamadutas, the agents of Yamaraj, the Lord of Death. And they had come with ropes to take his soul from his body, drag his soul to be punished for his sinful activities. At that moment, Ajamil was terror-struck, and fortunately, he had named his son, young son, Narayan, which is the name of the Lord of Vaikuntha. And in that completely helpless condition, he shouted, he was calling for his son, Narayan, Narayan, Narayan. And chanting the holy name of Narayan, even though he was not intending to call on the Lord of Vaikuntha, but rather just his son. But still, somehow or other, he chanted the holy name of Narayan. And so the Vishnu Dutas, the messengers or agents of the Lord of Vaikuntha, appeared in the room. Now, the Yamadutas have subtle bodies, and the Vishnu Dutas have spiritual bodies. So what Srimad Bhagavatam is describing here would not have been visible to ordinary people. But Ajamil, because he was at the time of death, could see them. And the Vishnu Dutas intervened. They said, halt, to the Yamadutas. You have no authority over this soul. And the Yamadutas said, who are you? We are the agents of Yamaraj. We have never been deterred in our duties. Who are you to interfere? And then there was a great philosophical discussion about who had jurisdiction over Ajamil's soul. The Yamaduta said, we have authority. We are coming on behalf of Yamaraj. He's sinful, so he deserves to be punished. And the Vishnu Duta said, but he chanted the holy name of Narayan at the time of death. And chanting the holy name of Narayan is so powerful that it has destroyed all of his sinful reactions, and liberated him from material bondage, and so you have no authority over him. So there was a great discussion, and in the end, the Vishnu Dutas prevailed, and the Yamadutas went back to their master, Yamaraj, to report to him what had happened. So at that time, Ajamil was allowed to remain within his body. He did not leave his body. In contemporary language, we could say that during this exchange between the Yamadutas and Vishnu Dutas, he was in a coma. And on a morning walk on Juhu Beach, one devotee asked Srila Prabhupada what it means to be in a coma. And Srila Prabhupada said that sometimes when the fate or destination of a soul who's about to leave his or her body is in question, the person remains in coma while the higher authorities determine what is meant to happen. I had one experience in Bombay, a very pious lady, very aristocratic, cultured, devotional lady in Bombay, very generous, very hospitable to devotees, the wonderful service attitude, took initiation. So eventually the time came when she had to leave her body, and she went into a coma. And generally, we think of coma in relation to sinful people. So we were wondering, you know, she's such a pious lady, why did she go into a coma? And she was in a coma for quite some time. And then she left. So this question was in my mind. And then after she left, we went to her home. So many times we'd gone to her home for prasad and programs. Her son was there, living with her. And we saw in a room off the hallway, when you enter the apartment, large apartment, there was a room with leather shoes being made. I mean, from a certain point of view, it was sort of a nice idea. She got poor ladies, you know, poor indigent Indian ladies. And so she wanted to give them work, and she was very artistic, this lady. Somehow, she had a little business going on whereby these poor ladies were fashioning these sort of artistic Indian style shoes made of leather. And then I thought, oh, that explains it. Even though she had so many good qualities and such a pious background and did so much nice service, but the situation was complicated because she had a business of manufacturing leather shoes. And I could see, well, this is a complicated case. We hope and pray that during the period that she was in a coma, that she suffered sufficiently to burn up the sinful reactions that were due to her because of the shoe business. And that at that stage she was free to go back to Godhead. So this is complicated. The life of a soul in the material world can be very complicated because of mixed desires. Our conscious desire is to serve Krishna, to chant Krishna's name, to go back to Godhead. But we are conditioned. We have weaknesses, we have sentiments, and we can become bewildered and fall down. Srila Prabhupada lectured day after day on this section of Srimad Bhagavatam, which really explains the glories of the holy name. When we were traveling with him in India, and one of my god brothers, Revatinandan Swami, then told a story that he was working very, very hard to serve Srila Prabhupada and the devotees. He was the cook. And he would start cooking you know, probably 5:30 in the morning, because it was cold at that stage. We were in Allahabad for the Ardha Kumbh Mela, December, January, and then we went to Gorakhpur. And you know, Kumbh Mela is like a campsite constructed on the sands near the banks of the Ganges and Yamuna. So he would, and he'd have these huge pots. He wasn't cooking only for our devotees, but he was cooking for the public. You know, thousands of people came every day. And cooking on wood, I mean, it was very, I mean, it was actually nice in a way, but from a certain standard, it was very basic. And from morning to night, he was just working hard, really hard. And during that period, in the morning, Srila Prabhupada was lecturing on the story of Ajamil. And one morning, Revati Nandan Prabhu, I don't remember whether he was a sannyasi then, but he walked into the pandal, the big tent where Srila Prabhupada was speaking, and he got the impression that Srila Prabhupada was looking right at him from the Vyasa San. And Srila Prabhupada said that although Ajamil fell down into a very abominable condition, but because in his youth he had rendered very, very pure service, in the end he was delivered. And the way those words boomed through the microphone, and the way Srila Prabhupada appeared to be looking right at Revati Nandan Prabhu, Revati Nandan Prabhu thought, this is something significant. And later it happened that Revati Nandan Swami did fall down. And he remembered that instruction from Srila Prabhupada, that because he had rendered very, very pure service in his youth, in the end he was delivered. So whatever service we render is always taken into account. And in fact, Krishna, being as merciful as he is by nature, gives much more importance to the service that a devotee renders than to the mistakes that a devotee makes. But still, from our side, we should do whatever we can to avoid falling down. Srila Prabhupada remarks that reading the story of Ajamil, I mean, this is just a little bit of Ajamil's thoughts, but Ajamil was, he also was saying how he was lamenting or repenting for his previous sinful activities. And like, how could he, who had been so sinful, have had the opportunity to associate with the Vishnu Dutas, pure devotees, liberated souls, associates of Lord Narayan, and chant the holy name? Now, the previous acharyas have given much thought to the quality of Ajamil's chanting at what was meant to be his time of death. Because there are three different categories of chanting. There's offensive chanting, nam aparad. Then there's offense-less chanting. It's not pure, but it's done without committing offenses. That's called nam abhas. It's like a glimpse of pure chanting. And then there's the stage of pure chanting. In that stage, one actually develops love of Godhead. So the acharyas, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur and others, remark that Ajamil, although he was very sinful, he, at that moment he chanted in Nam Abbas, in a mood of complete helplessness, just calling the holy name of Narayan, but calling for his son. And they say that because in his childhood and youth he had served Lord Narayan, when he called the holy name of Narayan, although he was indicating his son, but that on some level, in some way, reminded him of the original Narayan, the Lord of Vaikuntha. Now, one of the offenses against the holy name, horrible of the offenses, is committing sin on the strength of chanting. In other words, you deliberately engage in sinful activities and you make the calculation that, oh, by chanting the holy name, I get free from sinful reaction, so it doesn't matter. I'll do whatever nonsense I'd like and then I'll chant the holy name to counteract it. So that offense, nam nam papa buddhi, is very serious. And not only does one have to suffer the reactions for the sin that he committed, but he gets further reactions for committing that offense. You know, it's sort of like, you know someone high in the police department, so you engage in some criminal activity and you think, well, I'll just bribe my friend in the police department and I'll get off. So you'll be punished for your criminal activity, and on top of it you'll be punished for attempting to bribe an officer. But Ajamil was not like that. It's not that he deliberately committed sinful activities and planned that he'll chant the holy name to become free from the sinful reactions. He tried to restrain himself, but he wasn't strong enough, and then he fell down and down and down and down. But at the last moment, he just chanted in complete helplessness. There was no offense in it. So, although it wasn't pure chanting, it was considered offenseless chanting. And he got the result of offenseless chanting, which is freedom from sinful reactions. And liberation from material attachments. And because of being liberated from material attachments, he was able to leave that prostitute to whom he was so attached, and his son Narayan, to whom he was so attached. And he went to Haridwar and engaged in regular devotional service to come to the stage in which he could chant purely, in which he could actually awaken his dormant love of God and be eligible to go back to Godhead. So this is a very instructive story. But at this stage, Ajamil is, he's lamenting, he's repenting for his sinful activities and appreciating the mercy of the Lord and the Lord's devotees who had saved him. And also praying that he may never fall down again. And that should be our mood. Now, chanting the holy name at the time of death or thinking of the Lord at the time of death is not so easy. And therefore, we should practice chanting without offense even now, because if we don't practice now, we will not be able to chant at the time of death and remember Krishna. I recently heard a lecture that Srila Prabhupada gave in London, in which he talks about parrot-like chanting. That we should actually chant with enthusiasm, with love, with priti, not just parrot-like. And he gave the example that a parrot, the bird, a parrot may learn to chant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. But if a cat comes and catches the bird and is ready to devour the bird, the parrot isn't going to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Just go, ka, ha, ka, ka, ka. So Srila Prabhupada said that if we just chant externally, but our hearts are somewhere else, then at the time of death, no Hare Krishna. There's ka, 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 help me, help me, help me. So we have to practice and learn to chant with enthusiasm, with feeling, with affection, and then we'll be able to chant at the time of death. It's not so easy. Godbrother of mine, coincidentally named Vaikunthanath Das, he was driving his car across a railway tracks, and the car stalled. So naturally, he's trying to get it to work. And, you know, he saw there was a train coming down the tracks towards him. But again, you know, he's just desperately trying to get it to work. You know, I just get it to work, and then I'll cross, and I'll be safe. But in the process, he actually couldn't get it to work. And then there was no time to get out of the car. The train was right about to hit the car. So he thought, this is the end. And he started to chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. The train hit the car. And at the last moment he thought,
what's going to happen to my wife. And then he blacked out. I mean, fortunately, he lived to tell the story. But he was chanting. But at the last moment, he thought of his wife. Which is natural in a way. But so, generally, we will think of what we're most attached to at the time of death. And so we have to actually develop our attachment for Krishna. And it's not just a matter of going through the motions externally, but it's a matter of the heart to actually develop some feeling, some attachment, some affection for Krishna, so that we'll think of him at the time of death. Hare Krishna. So Ajamil, he was fortunate. He named his son Narayan. And Srila Prabhupada comments in the previous purport that the Krishna consciousness movement is so meticulous that it gives devotees a chance to remember Krishna, to chant the holy name of Krishna, just by giving spiritual names to disciples at the time of initiation. So we have names like Krishna Das, Govinda Das, Hari Das, or Radha Dasi. And so we're always chanting these names. So it helps. It all helps. And Swalpam Api Dharmasya Trayate Mahato Bayat. Lord Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that even a little advancement on this path will save one from the most dangerous type of fear. So if we make progress, but are not completely successful in this life, we'll be given a chance in the next life. Exactly what Ajamil described here can happen over the course of more than one lifetime. That because of our devotional service in this lifetime, even if we're not completely successful, we'll be given the chance in the next lifetime to continue. But of course, that is not the idea. The idea is to finish in this lifetime. But if we don't, we can continue in the next life. And in the Nectar of Devotion, Srila Prabhupada quotes Rupa Goswami that generally devotional service is a continuation from the past life. that someone who's made advancement in the past life but who didn't finish the complete course. And Prabhupada mentions, Rupa Goswami mentions, most likely due to Vaishnav aparad, one will get a chance in the next life. And especially for someone who has a natural taste for Vedic literature, Srimad Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, it's understood that he was advanced from his past life, but somehow or other was not completely successful. So, yeah, being weak, falling into sense gratification, it's not desirable, but it's not as damaging as committing offenses. and especially the offense of Vaishnava Aparad. We should be very careful about that. All the offenses, but Vaishnava Aparad, committing sin on the strength of chanting, inattention, these are, well, they're all bad, but I'm not going to discuss them all now. But Vaishnava Aparad. But we, in the Krishna consciousness movement, are especially blessed because we have the opportunity to get the mercy of Gaur Nitai, to get the mercy of the Panchatattva. When we chant the holy names of the Panchatattva, we naturally become ecstatic because the Panchatattva do not consider offenses in chanting very seriously. You know, there may be a little reaction, not exactly even a reaction, but just a little loving slap so that we're aware that we've committed an offense and we should be careful. But not the reactions that one gets when one commits offenses in chanting the holy names of Krishna, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And by serving them in the Sankirtan movement, we get their special mercy. And that will carry us, that will help us in our lives of devotional service and at the time of death. Srila Prabhupada had a disciple, Tamal Krishna Goswami, who was serving Prabhupada personally. I mean, he was the GBC for India then. There was a lot to do. And he was also serving Prabhupada personally and making all arrangements for him personally. So he was concerned, you know, this is the period Prabhupada was talking about Ajamil. And so he was concerned, and he asked Srila Prabhupada, you know, I'm so busy with your service. What if I'm engaged in some service for you and, you know, by chance the time of death comes and I'm just engaged in serving you, what will happen to me? And Srila Prabhupada said, you know, because I won't be thinking of Krishna at the time, I'll be thinking of the service. So Srila Prabhupada said, don't worry. Lord Chaitanya will enter your mind and forcibly make you think of him. So this is the special facility we get in the Sankirtan movement, serving the Panchatattva, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we should do our best in every respect, in our japa and shravanam kirtanam, Vishnu smaranam, all the activities, and also give ourselves life and soul to the Sankirtan movement and be very eager to please Gaur Nitai and get the mercy of Gaur Nitai. And that combination of our best efforts in sadhana and at the same time enthusiastic, wholehearted participation in the Sankirtan movement, that will be a very powerful combination to help us go back home, back to Godhead at the end of this lifetime. Hare Krishna. End now? Okay. So Vas Prabhu says there's time if anyone wants to ask a question. Yes.
Yes, Nika.
I caught Prabhu.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Maharaj, for a wonderful class. In the beginning of the class, there was mentioned that there's authorities who have to decide what the future fate of a particular soul may be. So in this case, the Vishnudutas and Yamadutas were discussing. Now, who are those other authorities?
Well, these are the main ones. I mean, there's everyone in the material world really is under the jurisdiction of Yamaraj, the Lord of Death. He judges people. He has a scribe named Chitragupta who records all of our pious and sinful activities. And then there's a calculation. And for the pious activities, the result, pious means material pious activities, not pure devotional service. The result of pious activities is material enjoyment. And the result of sinful activities is suffering. And sometimes it's a little difficult if there's, devotional service and sinful activities. That's more complicated. But there's also that aspect of mercy that I mentioned, that in the coma, there's deliberation going on among the higher authorities, but also on the level of the suffering patient, sinful activities are being burnt up. And so in the case of a devotee, Ajamil was a devotee. I mean, he had engaged in devotional service. And so the Lord takes special interest. I'm not sure, who might be drawn in to the discussion besides the Yamadutas and Vishnudutas. Karmana Daivanetrena. The Bhagavad Gita says that one's next birth is decided according to one's karma by Daiva. That means by higher authorities.
There's a mention in the Bhagavatam that there are certain witnesses to the activities of the living entity. Just my speculation, but would those witnesses have to bring their list before Yamaraj?
It could be. I mean, it's very much like a judicial process. It's just very much like a judicial process. But the ultimate witness is the super soul. Srila Prabhupada tells the story that when he was in college, one of the Scottish professors or lecturers sort of challenged the Hindu idea of karma, saying, well, who's the witness? You say you enjoy and suffer the results of your activities, but who's the witness? And Srila Prabhupada says at that time as a student he wasn't so expert, but later he understood, the witness is the super soul. So that's, super soul is the ultimate. There are five factors in every action, and that would include the whole range of activities from birth to death and beyond. But the one factor of of the super soul of Krishna is the highest factor of all. So, yeah, we should always be conscious that the Lord is in our heart. Like Prabhupada says, you might lock the door, pull down the window shades, close the curtains, turn off the lights, but the super soul is still there. He'll see what you're doing, so you can't hide from the super soul. All right, well, it's a very auspicious beginning to the new year. Seeing the beautiful deities, beautiful, beautiful darshan today, chanting the holy names, hearing scriptures in the association of devotees. So we should continue this throughout the year and beyond. Hare Krishna.